Charles, 100.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57 and verse 19. I am compelled to share this word today and hopefully bring some revelation to it by way of several translations of the reading of these scriptures, and by that the Holy Ghost shall reveal to us. Isaiah 57 verse 19 says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. This word is historically to and about Israel, although it is pragmatically for us, because it is written not only for the present time of Isaiah, but also it is a word that is prophetic for those of us in this time and those times yet to come before Christ returns. It is a word that you will discover God himself is sharing with his own people. And I think when we look at this truth, one of the things we're going to discover is that some of the greatest problems God had with people were his own. Some of the issues that God had to confront and deal with were not people who were not in the knowledge or in relationship with God, but people who were his very own, who had tasted and they saw his goodness. They had witnessed and were demonstrated the power and the pleasure and the privilege of God in their lives, and yet chose to turn to idols and become an adulterous people in terms of serving other gods. And he brings out some very interesting things, and I think when we look at the scripture and we understand them, it'll help us deal with issues in our own life. Like when he begins this chapter, he deals with talking about why the young and the good die young, and why those who are righteous seem to disappear and nobody really cares. And when you understand why God permits such things, it is ultimately to keep them from a greater destruction that is forthcoming. And so sometimes we don't understand why God does what he does when he does what he does, but he does what he does because he knows best. And when we learn to trust him, even though we may not always understand him, the songwriter said, we'll understand it better by and by. Let me let you hear the King James rendering of these scriptures. Rita, if you'll begin at verse 1.
Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Verse 2. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Verse 3, but draw near hither, ye sons of sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Verse 4, against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression and seed of falsehood? Verse 5, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Verse 6, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Verse 7, upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Verse 8, behind the doors also are the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Verse 9, and thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Verse 10, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, thou hast found the life of thine hand. Therefore, thou hast not grieved. Verse 11, and of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? Verse 12, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. Verse 13, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. Verse 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Verse 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the shout and the souls which I have made. Verse 17, for the iniquity of the covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. Verse 18, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked.
Now, I know you were able to get parts and pieces of what Isaiah was saying. I know it is not completely clear about what he's saying, but the parts and pieces you could pick up you recognize that out of those verses, from verse 3 to about 13, God is issuing forth those things in his heart concerning those of his children, those who had turned away from him, those who had been in an idolatrous and adulterous affairs and have disregarded God because he chose to keep himself from those in those activities, that sometimes when God doesn't step up and strike us down immediately, we think that we have the right to keep on doing what we're doing. Because God doesn't step in straightway and straighten out our erroneous ways and does not take offense immediately and destroy the fruit of our wrongdoings, we begin to think that God must be dead or he must not care about what we're doing. But I got news for you. God knows every single thing you do in the light and in the dark, in the public and in the private. And all of those things we will have to give an account for. Now listen to this. Keep in mind, he's talking about his own people. Now I want Robert to read the New Living Translation, because you're going to pick up more than you picked up in the King James Version of this, because my whole purpose in sharing these translations I was studying is to help you understand the message that God has for each of us today. Let me just throw this helpful hint out to you. Just take whatever applies to you. Amen. Have you ever gone to a buffet and saw all those different items on the buffet bar? Did you eat everything? No. Did you taste everything? No. But what you did want, you took. So I want to tell you, everything that applies to you, you better put it underneath this head here, in this mind here, in this heart here, and take it to heart, because God is requiring action on your part. Now listen at the New Living Translation. Read it.
Isaiah 57 verse 1 from the New Living Translation. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. Verse 2, for those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. Verse 3, but you, come here, you witches, children, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes. Verse 4, whom do you mock, making faces and sticking out your tongues, you children of sinners and liars? Verse 5, you worship your idols with great passion beneath the oaks and under every green tree. You sacrifice your children down in the valleys among the jagged rocks in the cliffs. Verse 6, your gods are the smooth stones in the valleys. You worship them with liquid offerings and grain offerings. They, not I, are your inheritance. Do you think all this makes me happy? Verse 7, you have committed adultery on every high mountain. There you have worshiped idols and have been unfaithful to me. Verse 8, you have put pagan symbols on your doorposts and behind your doors. You have left me and climbed into bed with these detestable gods. You have committed yourselves to them. You love to look at their naked bodies. Verse 9, you have gone to Molech with olive oil and many perfumes, sending your agents far and wide, even to the world of the end. Verse 10, you grew weary in your search, but you never gave up. Desire gave you renewed strength, and you did not grow weary. Verse 11, are you afraid of these idols? Do they terrify you? Is that why you have lied to me and forgotten me and my words? Is it because of my long silence that no longer fear me? That you no longer fear me? Verse 12. Now I will expose your so-called good deeds. None of them will help you. Verse 13. Let's see if your idols can save you when you cry to them for help. Why? A puff of wind can knock them down. If you just breathe on them, they fall over. But whoever trusts in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. Verse 14, God says, rebuild the road, clear away the rocks and stones so my people can return from captivity. Verse 15, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one, says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Verse 16, for I will not fight against you forever. I will not always be angry. If I were, all people would pass away, all the souls I have made. Verse 17, I was angry, so I punished these greedy people. I withdrew from them, but they kept going on their way, stubborn way, on their own stubborn way. Verse 18, I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. I will lead them. I will comfort those who mourn. Verse 19, bringing words of praise to their lips, may they have abundant peace, both near and far, says the Lord, who heals them. Verse 20, but those who still reject me are like the restless sea, which is never still, but continually churns up mud and dirt. Verse 20, there is no peace for the wicked, says my God.
All right. Now, I take it that you understand it a little clearer from the New Living Translation. And yet, God is still trying to make it even clearer than that. Why? Because there is judgment coming after our doings. Make no mistake about it, wherever you are, you need to understand that God has given you an opportunity to make choices. The choices have consequences. And when you who belong to God depart from God and you are unfaithful to God, you need to know God himself hurts and his heart hurts over you whom he has blessed and have turned your back on him and have gone the ways of idols. Now listen at this. I'm gonna read this last translation. Many folk don't like this translation, and that's all good if they don't. But one of the reasons I might suggest they don't like it is because it's about as raw can be. It's about as real can be. Now, one of these things that you must need to know is that God tells it like it is. We've heard the King James, the King's language speaking, and then we've heard the New Living Translation. But now we're going to hear it broken down on the most common level of everyday man. And I want you to hear it from the Message Bible. Now get ready, get ready. Yeah, get ready. All right, reader, read.
Isaiah 57 from the Message Translation, verses 1 through 2. Meanwhile, right living people die and no one gives them a thought. God-fearing people are carted off and no one even notices. The right living people are out of their misery. They're finally at rest. They lived well and with dignity, and now they're finally at peace. Verse 3 through 10. But you children of a witch, come here. Sons of a slut, daughters of a whore. What business do you have taunting, sneering, and sticking out your tongue? Do you have any idea what wretches you've turned out to be? A race of rebels, a generation of liars. You satisfy your lust any place you find some shade, and fornicate with it, fornicate at whim, excuse me. You kill your children at any convenient spot, at any cave or crevice will do. You take stones from the creek and set up your sex and religion shrines. You've chosen your fate. Your worship will be your doom. You've climbed a high mountain to practice your foul sex and death religion. Behind closed doors, you assemble your precious gods and goddesses. Deserting me, you've gone all out, stripped down, and made your bed your place of worship. You've climbed into bed with the sacred whores and loved every minute of it, adoring every curve of their naked bodies. You anoint your king god with ointments and lavish perfumes on yourselves. You send scouts to search out the latest in religion, send them all the way to hell and back. You wear yourselves out trying the new and the different and never see what a waste it all is. You've always found strength for the latest fad, never got tired of trying new religions. Verse 11 through 13. Who talked you into the pursuit of the nonsense, leaving me high and dry, forgetting you ever knew me? Because I don't yell and make a scene, do you think I don't exist? I'll go over, detail by detail, all your righteous attempts at religion and expose the absurdity of it all. Go ahead, cry for help to your collection of no gods. A good wind will blow them away. Their smoke, nothing but smoke. But anyone who runs to me for help will inherit the land, will end up owning my holy mountain. Someone says, Bill, make a road, clear the way, remove the rocks from the road my people will travel. Verses 15 through 21. A message from the high and towering God who lives in eternity, whose name is holy. I live in the high and holy places, but also with the low-spirited, the spirit crushed, and what I do is put new spirit in them. Get them up and on their feet again, for I'm not going to haul people into court endlessly. I'm not going to be angry forever. Otherwise, people would lose heart. These souls I created would tire out and give up. I was angry, good and angry, because of Israel's sins. I struck him hard and turned away in anger while he kept at his stubborn, willful ways. When I looked again and saw what he was doing, I decided to heal him, lead him, and comfort him, creating a new language of praise for the mourners. Peace to the far off, peace to the near at hand, says God. And yes, I will heal them, but the wicked are storm-battered seas that can't quiet down. The waves stir up garbage and mud. There's no peace, God says, for the wicked.
Amen. Can the church say amen? My brothers, my sisters, this message today is a simple message to the people of God to recognize God wants your whole heart, your true heart, your devotion to Him. He's sick and tired of us half-heartedly living for Him. We can't be in the world and act like the world and say we belong to God. We are lights of the world. in this dark world. And the light of the Lord should be that that shines through us so that others can see the goodness of our God. And if God can't show it through us, the question is, who can he show it through? So I pray that in whatever way God chose to speak to you this day through his word, there's been very little human interpretation by me. I've allowed the word to speak for itself. And I know truly God is well able to say what is on his mind. The question is, did you hear him today?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Of Kelly's 30th anniversary. It reads, "For all the prayers and support for Kelly's sitting services through the years, we say thank you. It has been a matter of joy to provide great services to clients like you. Kelly's has been fortunate enough to have loyal families as clients throughout the years and loyal employees who love and support God's people. Your dedication, sincerity, and perseverance have made a significant contribution to the continuation of this business that Kelly started 30 years ago on May 23, 1993 in Boyce, Louisiana, and has extended its love to the state of Texas. Our prayer is continued blessings on your life as this agency moves forward in its mission to care for our community. To past employee alumni, again, thanks to you for your support, hard work, dedication, and commitment to changing lives one day at a time. To those who have chosen Kelly's as their in-home care provider, you are a part of our Kelly's fam. Kelly's wants to express our heartfelt gratitude, love, and appreciation, and say thank you. With love, from the Washingtons and the staff of Kelly's Sitting Services, another proud sponsor of KAYA.